This is the Affirm America podcast, where we stand up and speak out, affirming American excellence. Coming to you deep in the heart of the Midwest, located in an undisclosed log cabin on the outskirts of town, your host, Marquis Vandermark.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Affirm America podcast. I'm your host, Marquis Vandermark. I'm coming to you from deep in the heart of the Midwest in an undisclosed log cabin on the outskirts of town. We got some rain here the last couple days. We've been in a drought, and finally, we had the clouds opened up and the rains fell, and the grass is starting to revive itself. Thanks for joining us today. It's been a little while since I've spoken to you, the Affirm America Podcast Fellowship. We got a good podcast for you here today. We went over to Springfield, Ohio to check out what's going on over there. It's been in the news recently. Donald Trump talked about it and the debates, and we know exactly what happened because we talked to some of the locals out there, and we've got their interviews with us here today to let you hear from them what is going on in their town of Springfield, a small country town of only about 60,000 people. 15,000 to 20,000 Haitians were dropped into the city, putting lots of stress on the locals. Healthcare services are stretched. Schools are full of children that don't speak English. Had to hire translators. We have car accidents happening every day. And there's some reports that people are eating cats and dogs and geese. Is that true? We're going to find out today. We're going to talk to some of the locals and see what they have to say about that. Not what the mainstream media wants to tell us. Let's hear it right from the folks who live there every day, their experiences. So that's what we're going to do today. Thanks for joining us. And let's start off with the first one, who is a kind of an eclectic woman that lives down in Yellow Springs. Yellow Springs is a little town just outside of Springfield, not too far. It's kind of a hippie town. If you go there, it's like you went back into the 60s. She will tell us a little bit about her experience. She lives in Dayton and also in Springfield, and we're going to play her interview right now. And her name is Tawn. So let's listen to what Tawn has to say. Okay, we're here in Springfield, Ohio. I'm here with Tawn Singh. We just want to talk to her a little bit about what she knows, what's going on here in Springfield. It's been in the news. So tell us a little bit, Tawn, about what you're experiencing here, what you see in here in Springfield, and just let the people know what's going on.
Okay, I just got into Springfield today, and you know, I saw I actually didn't see the debate live as it happened, but I heard about it, and I thought, oh my goodness, but it's actually good. You know, what's done in the dark comes to light. You know, like, as I said, I saw that he said that, you know, the Haitians eat dogs and geese. Well, the one case where the woman ate the cat, that was in Canton. She's from Springfield, but it didn't happen here. And then the guy holding the geese, I don't think that was in Springfield. That was somewhere else. So it's just really stupid, but it's actually good because it's really letting people know. And I actually have a sort of radical view because I was actually abandoned at birth, adopted at 6 months old from Troy, Ohio, and lived in Yellow Springs my whole life. So you would think I'd be with all togetherness, but not really. I mean, I struggled, you know, it's been really, really hard. And now I wanted to see, you know, where my people come from. So I moved to Dayton and I learned a lot about that. So anyway, I just, I think people do need to decide which side they're on, you know, and it's natural for people of the same race or background to want to be together. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, and I know that I certainly wouldn't put my child in a school where they had to deal with any type of foolishness.
So what about the safety issues that we're hearing about? There's been a lot of accidents in town. Apparently, the city government's just giving driver's licenses without having to take tests. And so there was a woman that was killed a week ago or so, taking her trash out, got run over by somebody a Haitian immigrant that just didn't have any driving. What are you hearing about some of the the situations when you drop 15,000 people in a small city like this. Do you know anything about what's going on with that?
Actually, with that whole the woman getting killed, I hadn't heard about that. And it's interesting that you ask me that because I actually am a driver. And I've been to, like, Kentucky 2 times last year. You know, I make deliveries and things. And to be honest, I think people in Dayton are some of the worst drivers I've ever seen. And I've seen a bunch of accidents. I saw a guy, like, good thing he was in a metal car because he T-boned a light. You know, I've just seen so many accidents. And I've almost had some myself, you know. A solution, I think, would be for them to have an interpreter with the Haitian immigrants to go with them, you know, when they have their test. I mean, that's a solution. And then to kind of a silly thing, I say that I speak German, Russian, French, and Spanish. A bit of all. You know, I'm learning. It's really not that hard. You know, come on, people. It's online, you know.
I mean, what's the biggest thing that we're seeing here in the city? Is it really a crisis? I mean, I heard that the healthcare's a little bit overwhelmed. Also, we're hearing that the schools are, you know, they're not English speaking young people coming in. They need special interpreters. Do you know anything about that? Do you know what's going on with that?
Well, you know, like I say, I'm basically a lifer. When I was in school, my mother moved to Springfield, but she still worked in Yellow Springs. And I lived on Possum Road out in the country. And I saw how now, this is when I'm an adult, at the plant here, I'll say the salad plant, there were lots of Latinos. So I thought there was like a huge influx of Latinos. And I loved them. You know, I loved working there. It was 34 degrees, wet. I actually went up from, because I have some education, I went up from that on the line to night logistics coordinator. And I absolutely loved it. And I saw really the inside and how they're hired and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if you want me to go into that, but it's not really on the up and up. So now with the Haitians, I really don't know much about that. Like, I don't know where they're working unless they all took the place of the Latinos who were working at the salad plant. I don't know. But one thing I want to tell them also, there's so many other cities. Like, I'm on my way to down south, and I bought land in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. If people don't want you around, don't be there, you know? I mean, I know it's hard for some people, but there is cheap land. Google cheap land. You can buy it with the credit card. You know, you get the deed and everything. Like, and the thing about Yellow Springs, Gaunt Park, I don't know if you've heard of that, Gaunt Park. Yep. Wheeling Gaunt was a slave. He moved to Yellow Springs and bought that land where the pool is. Of course, it wasn't there then. It was a trash heap. But they to this day, that turns a profit. And let's see, flour and sugar is given to widows and all of us kids. We learned how to swim there, you know, but we didn't really know much, you know, about Wheeling Gaunt. And that gave me an idea. So I bought my own land and people say, sell us. I'm like, no, I'm buying my own 40 acres and I'm keeping it, you know, and I'm going to do whatever I want. You know, Rio Rancho has like two things. You'll have like people where I am, where we have to pot in our own water. You can build your own house. They don't care. And then, you know, the rich people like Yellow Springs, $600,000 for, you know, a house. And my own house, when I was a child, I saw on Edgefield Drive, we had a double lot because people bought double lots. So there's a $300,000 house where I used to walk on the fence. I mean, it makes no sense in that neighborhood. Anyway.
Yeah, thanks for sharing with us. We appreciate it. Yeah. All right. So that was Tawn. And Tawn, as you can see, she's a little bit interesting in her discussion. She's talking about maybe it'd be a good idea to move out of town if you don't like what's going on in Springfield with so many immigrants. But for some people, that's just not an option to just get up and move. They've lived here all their lives. Some senior citizens have to sell their homes and move to another city. It's really a problem with the government putting too many people in one small town without warning the locals, but also not preparing for all the stress that it would cause for the locals when they have such a large influx of people from Haiti. So this is something that needs to be addressed by the local city council, the mayor, and also the governor for the state of Ohio, also Governor DeWine. DeWine is the responsible party, and also the open borders with the Harris and the Biden administration. They've had an open border policy for the last 4 years. We've had 10 to 20 million people come across our borders. That's a problem. They have to go somewhere, and it's just not in Springfield, Ohio. This is just somebody shined a light on Springfield, and that's why everybody's talking about it. But it's happening in other cities as well. All right, next up is a Christian woman I met at the Springfield Market. Her name is Tracy, and she's a very interesting person because she has a lot of compassion. And if people think, you know, the locals in Springfield are, you know, should just, you know, suck it up and quit complaining, listen to her attitude. As a Christian woman, she has a lot of compassion and a lot of concern for the both sides, for the locals and also for the Haitians. So this is her interview that we had with Tracy at the Springfield Farmers Market on Saturday. All right, we're with Tracy here at Springfield Farmers Market today. And we just want to ask Tracy her experience here in Springfield with what's been in the national news, the Haitian community that's migrated here. There's been a lot of news about, you know, a lot of different things. But I want to hear from a local what her experience has been so that people can get the truth from somebody that lives here, not just what the media is saying, you know, around the country. So, Tracy, tell us a little bit about your experience with what's going on here in Springfield with the recent news about the Haitians and whether it's really true that they're eating cats and dogs and all the things that we've been hearing. So tell us, Tracy, what's been your experience?
Well, my experience is being positive. I know this is a time where we're going through this election and politics is going to do its hand. But I want to say that Springfield is a nice community. People generally do work together in the community, but at the same time, Springfield has its roots in racism, just like in every other city and town. And I believe that what's going on with the Haitians has come, that the Haitians that are here, I believe that we need to be more patient and we need to be more, show more grace toward them. Yes, there being a flow in the healthcare system and other sectors, but yet we do have the power to work these things out. But it's going to take time. It's not going to work out itself in a day. And yes, we do have a big problem with housing, but what can we do?
Do you think maybe the government maybe sent too many people at one time? Maybe if they maybe would have maybe not sent so many that it wouldn't put such a strain on the local services? Do you think the government has something to that they could have done better that wouldn't have created such a big story?
I think Springfield could have did much better in preparing the residents. Like they said in 2014, they established a program to welcome more people. But I didn't know that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We didn't know the details of this program. And it make you wonder what was all behind that. You know, we didn't know what was going on until we saw more Haitians throughout the years. I mean, in the past, I'd say 5 years. So the citizens was caught off guard. And until that what happened with the bus accident. Did you hear about that?
I did hear about it, yes.
Then everything exploded. I mean, it was exploding before that, you know, but it took that for people to really, you know, voice their concerns.
There was also reported just like a week ago or so, an elderly woman went out to take her trash out and was run over by a Haitian. Allegedly, they haven't really proven that it was Haitian, but somebody had run over and killed her about a week ago. So I know that I heard about the bus story, but this was also another death that I heard from some of the driving. I guess they don't have, they're issuing driver's licenses without really doing tests.
I have seen a lot of accidents with the Haitians. That is something that the government gonna have to deal with. And as far as that lady, the elderly lady that got killed, I didn't even know that. I didn't know that.
Interesting that just there wasn't any news about it in the newspaper or anything?
I didn't read nothing about it. It could have been in the newspaper, but I didn't hear nothing about it until I saw that woman on YouTube talking about, it was her mother, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Her mother. So I was shocked. But see, it could be a lot of things happening.
We just don't see it. It's happening, but maybe you're not noticing it, or it's not being reported.
Or it's not happening in my neighborhood or whatever. But the thing is, I just think we have to deal with it with excellence. We're going to have to we can't deal with it with hostility and hatred. We got to deal with it with patience and with all love.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, the Haitians are stuck in a situation, right? I mean, their country's falling apart, and they were uprooted from their home country, and they were dropped here in this city, and it's not their fault. You know, they're trying to, you know, get along the best way they can. But what's the city council and the mayor? What's his response? What's he going to do about it? I know Governor DeWine was talking about trying to get some government assistance. Have you heard anything about what the city's going to do to try to fix the situation? Anything that you've heard?
I think the city leaders are in a bind.
To say the least, right? I mean, and the citizens too, right? I mean, you know,
I think they don't know what to do overall. I mean, because there's money issues. There's issues all around.
And that's right.
They can't fix everything in one day. It's going to take money, and it's just going to take time. And I feel bad for the Haitians because they already been traumatized being in their country. You could see it in their faces. You could see it in their expressions. Then they come here. All they want to do is live, make a good living, just like everyone else. And here they're being traumatized again.
And also, to be fair, also the locals too, right? I mean, they're driving up the rent prices, from what I've been told, because of the housing, and the people that rent apartments and things, they can get more money from the government assistance, and so a lot of the locals are getting pushed out too, right? They're being
and that is a huge concern for a lot of Springfielders, that we getting pushed out. Our homeless shelters has been closed down. I don't think it's an issue with the Haitians. I don't know. But a lot of things, a lot of money is being siphoned out, sucked out. And it leaves the locals struggling, which I can agree with that. You know. But like I said, we just gonna have to work it out. We do have a money deficit in Springfield. It is a big issue. But the city leaders, Governor DeWine, they're gonna have to figure it out. They're the one that proposed this, and those are the ones that are gonna have to fix it.
Well, your attitude is certainly a Christian attitude. What you had mentioned about being patient and compassionate and loving towards our fellow brothers and sisters that, you know, came from another country, and they're, you know, there's no winners here. There's victims on both sides, I guess. The people that live here are being impacted, and then also the Haitians are also going through a difficult situation themselves, coming from their own country.
Right. And I'm speaking from being African-American person who we've been traumatized throughout the years. You know what I'm saying?
You bet.
Yeah, so I can't tell them to go home. We've been told that for many years. So where am I to tell them?
So, exactly.
You know, so we just have to have grace. That's the bottom line.
Well, Tracy, I appreciate you taking a few minutes to share with us your experiences, and I hope Springfield works it out and you can get back to some normalcy. I'm sure it's probably disrupted a lot of folks here in town, and I hope that...
because there's been the city been receiving emails of bombings and stuff.
I heard about it.
And that disrupting the schools and the businesses in town. And we just going to have to stop putting gas in the fire. You know what I'm saying? We just going to have to be quiet and just put our heads together. We're just going to have to endure. Endure.
And a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer.
And a lot of prayer. I mean, bathe this city in prayer.
We're praying for you. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much, Tracy, and hope you do well here today at the Farmers Market here in Springfield.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
God bless you. All right, so that's Tracy's interview. I think you found that she's very forgiving, very Christian-like. She's an African-American woman, and she was very graceful in her approach and how she spoke about, you know, being compassionate for the Haitians being displaced from their country and being brought here into a city that is very unfamiliar to them. They don't speak the same language. They've uprooted their roots from their own country, and they're living in a foreign land, and all this media attention has come down. So there's really two sides to the story. There was also a story I read about the ways in which these Haitians come here. There's one story of a gentleman by the name of King George, who's taking advantage of the immigrants. He was picking up Haitians in Florida, bringing them up here to Ohio. And the way it works is he owns a staffing company. And so he'll hire these individuals, but he'll keep half of their wages. And they'll provide transportation to the manufacturing companies that surround the Springfield area. There's a lot of Japanese companies because Marysville, Ohio is just down the road. That's where they assemble Honda cars. It's a big assembly plant. So there's lots of manufacturing jobs. Amazon is here and a number of other manufacturers, FedEx, and we have the Intel chips being developed here in Columbus over on the far end of Columbus, Ohio, which is the capital city, over in Johnstown, Ohio. So there's lots of manufacturing jobs, and these immigrants, these people are being brought up from Florida, and they're hired. And then the services this individual provides is he'll put 10 or 12 families all together in one house, provide transportation to work, but he'll keep half the wages. And I've heard he's quite wealthy, has a big house out in the country, has some luxury cars. Some might say he's taking advantage of them. Other people might say that he's providing a service for them. But there's two sides to the story here. Next interview is from a person by the name of David, and he lived in Springfield for 30 years plus. And he can tell you his experience living here in Springfield and how the Haitian population has affected him and his family. So let's listen to that interview now.
So, David, you grew up here in Springfield, did you? Yes, it did. I am 33 years old. I spent 31 years in the town. So, been had the ups and downs. Grew up out in mostly the countryside of the Springfield, so I'm able to at least disconnect from most of the issues in the town, at least.
So, living out in the country, do you do farming, or what? Do you just live in the country, or?
No, just a couple miles outside of the city, enough where it's quiet. You don't hear the cars and such at night.
So, with all the media attention on Springfield and everything we're hearing, are you seeing any changes here in Springfield since you've lived here for the past 33 years? Is this just a media event here, or is there some validity to what everybody's talking about in your experience?
I mean, it's been pretty impactful in the community over the past couple of years. The south side of the town's mostly where they've settled, so that's where most of the impactfulness has happened. I would say ever since the media attention in the past week or two has been on the town, a lot of things have changed. They've almost covered things up to the point where, you know, like when Xi Jinping came to visit San Francisco, they cleaned out all the homeless. It's kind of the way Springfield's done things over the past couple of days. So I don't know if the issue is being addressed or if it's more of just now with all the eyes on it, they're trying to gussy up the town.
So before things were gussied up and changed, what did you see? I mean, what was going on before they kind of moved them off the front line, maybe in downtown area or wherever the main part of the city is?
Well, the car crash is still constant. There was three of them yesterday, one flipped vehicle. Yeah, it doesn't really make sense for that, but it's extremely a lot more police presence ever since national news addressed the issues in our town. It kind of brought out a couple of the crazies, so there's been supposedly more than 33 bomb threats in the city over the past week. So that's something the community's usually, I haven't seen it in the 30 years that we lived here. We maybe had one bomb threat at a high school ever.
So were the schools closed down for the day or a couple days? Or?
Yeah, multiple schools were closed down. They closed down the hospital for a day as well. Multiple city buildings were closed down for it for other days. So I'm not certain who's doing it or who's calling in the threats, but obviously either the issue of the town has riled somebody up or it being on the news has riled somebody up, but it's a scary time.
So besides the car crashes, what else are you experiencing?
I've been accosted in the supermarket a couple times where, you know, normal people, the aisles are wide enough for two people to pass each other. They'll just ram their cart into you to get by. It's kind of a lack of respect for people. Just that. My parents have rentals in town. They had someone who, when they were passing out applications, they obviously do background checks and credit checks on everybody who they want to rent from them. This person said, well, you know, I'll offer you double, triple the rent now. No background check needed. I'll sign it. And we were like, no, we need to do a background check. We need you to fill out an application and such. And they said, well, I can't. The people who I want to rent this for aren't here yet. So that's something that we've never really had to address before.
What about the rent for the locals? Has that driven up the cost of rent? That I read that in some of the media reports that rents become very expensive. Is that true?
Well, there's no legal limit on how many people can live in a single family home. It's more of just how many they're comfortable, the tenant is comfortable having in the house. So I'm certain that there's other less reputable landlords who are renting the houses out to multiple families. Of a three-bedroom, they'll fit three families in a three-bedroom, and I've heard of people getting anywhere from $1,300 to $1,800 for a three-bedroom house that rents normally anywhere from $750 to $900. So it's I'm certain someone's profiting off of it, but
that's almost twice as much.
Yeah, and the local residents who don't really have the over-the-top programs that are funded from outside the state or charities and things of that sort, they can't compete with rates of that. So you can see where they have, they would make them slightly upset.
Are they finding that they have to move out of the area, or are locals becoming homeless as a result of not being able to pay rent because it's too expensive?
There's certainly been a spike in homelessness. It doesn't help that the city had a program to buy a motel and fix it up for the homeless, and then some sort of arson happened, and they had to tear the building down and took, I believe it was over $1 million loss on that program, so they're still trying to find a place for the local homeless. So that tacked on to this situation, there's just lack of space and available housing for everyone. I believe there's tents at Snyder Park with some homeless people.
What, just one last question here is, so, you know, what really brought the buzz here recently was the reports of eating animals. I know in some cultures, like in Korea, they eat dogs regularly. There's actually, it's a delicacy. So it's not unusual in some other countries, but is there any reports, are those anything true about eating ducks, geese, dogs, cats? Is that anything you've seen or heard about that you've seen or heard about?
I know that there's other cultures that do that practice. I know the Chinese have a fair for a festival of dogs every year. In the local community, I've had people who are extremely left-leaning report to me that they've seen Haitians near Snyder Parks with ducks carrying them. So that'd be contrary to any sort of motive they would have to tell me that story. People who have no ulterior motives other than just like that's a weird thing. I can't comment on it, but from what everybody says, Haiti was a big practicer of voodoo for a while, so I'm not certain if that has anything to tie in with it. Even if they may not be eating the animals, it may just be their cultural to pick up stray cats. And the town's always had a large population of stray cats, so I don't know. I can't confirm or deny those rumors. So,
all right, David, thank you very much for spending a couple minutes here for the Firm America podcast.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, so that's David. David was very descriptive in his experience, how he was affected here in town. Things that he's never seen before, is living here all of his life. He had mentioned that he had heard about some animals being taken, some geese maybe from the local ponds, sell them, bringing them home. That's probably not unusual. And as far as I'm concerned, they can take all the geese, all the Canadian geese they want, because Canadian geese are all over the Midwest here, and they're nuisance animals. And I don't think they're protected. But if he wants to eat them, that's fine. Well, if it comes to cats and dogs and pets, that's a whole different story. Of course, we can't confirm nor not confirm that those things are going on. But David could tell us that he had heard about it from someone that didn't really have any motivation, from maybe the Republican side. Maybe it was a more left-leaning Democrat, so there was no real motivation not to be truthful, not political. And so David gave us some very good information from his perspective. So we'll bring you some more information as time goes on. We'll stay in touch with it, and any news that breaks or anything good or bad happens in Springfield, you can find it right here on the Affirm America podcast. So I hope you have a great day. Thanks for joining us on the Affirm America podcast. I'm your host, Marquise Vandermark. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
This is the Affirm America podcast with your host, Marquis Vandermark. And let's never forget, America is great, and we affirm it.